welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a fantastic Friday down here in Florida. We're actually getting some rain, but that's not too bad because it'll probably bring in some nice cooler weather through January, so that would be nice. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's kind of a drizzly chemtrail day here today. It's not really raining, and when you look at the Doppler, we have this drizzle coming down, and it must be from all the spraying they've been doing to us. I'm curious to see if we're going to have residue on the automobiles that are parked outside.
It won't surprise me at all. I remember up in Georgia we had that a lot after that mist of the chemtrails. I think it was on a couple days before Christmas. And I went outside, and it looked like the entire cars had a salt spray on them, like I'd been at the beach. But I was obviously in central north Georgia, so there was no salt spray anywhere. But, yeah, I don't doubt we'll see that at all. What's kind of troubling now is we knew they're trying to push for this, but we'll just keep seeing them push for it. The American population has to be stronger than that, though. The U.S. military press conference now came out yesterday and said to prepare for World War III with Russia. U.S. and NATO generals have told reporters at a press briefing that they should prepare for World War III with Russia. They bolstered their military forces on the Russian border, installing anti-ballistic missile systems and equipment in an effort to provoke a nuclear war with Russia, as it seems. In response, Russian President Vladimir Putin has deployed anti-aircraft missile systems around Moscow to protect the country from a massive attack. He's installed the S-400 Triumph air defense systems, which is capable of hitting moving U.S. and NATO planes and missiles at a range up to 400 kilometers. Now, again, I don't know if they're just rattling off again to try and promote fear and paranoia and really try to increase the idea that we need to go to war with Russia when we do not. But this is interesting to see that they will not back off of this. They really, really, really want to escalate something before Trump gets in office, it seems, Deb.
You know, this is what I've been telling folks that we need to pray about, because it's one of those deals that this is a very real scenario, because they can collapse the banks, they can contract the money supply, they can start a war. Gerald Celente, last year when we had him on the show, he said one of the things they always do when they get their hands caught in the cookie jar, the New World Order always starts a war. It's their go-to option. They're able to do this because they control the military-industrial complex, and they control a lot of generals and a lot of other people in the Pentagon. So if they have the ability to start this, they still may before the Gay Kenyon gets out of office. But the problem is, you know, we just got to keep praying and praying and praying that the generals and the staff and the logistics just drag their feet and don't put these particular assets into place before Trump gets into office, because that way Trump will be the one making the decision, because Trump has absolutely no interest at all in going to war with Russia. There's no money in it. He's a business guy. There's just no money in it. There's no money in killing half the population of the United States or half the population of the planet. There's no reason to do any of this. But this New World Order Rothschild scheme, remember, the Rothschilds are the ones who went in and started the Bolshevik Revolution with the Sabbateans, with these Satan worshippers. They're the ones who went in and killed the royal family in Russia. They're the ones that have done all of this stuff, and they control our Federal Reserve. They control our military-industrial complex. They control, they control all of our banking systems. This is what they do. They control all of this stuff, and they can collapse the stock market. Look at the bond market, what's happened since they started raising interest rates. I mean, all that money has flooded out of bonds and gone into the stock market now. Stock market's raising, racing around, trying to go as high as it's ever been. And the nuttiest part about all of this is that, you know, it's all hinging on Trump getting into the White House. I really believe that if we keep praying, we're not going to have this problem. But again, this is more fear porn that the establishment is putting out. I don't think the Gay Kenyon has any interest in going into war with Russia either. The problem is the Gay Kenyon doesn't run the White House. The Gay Kenyon doesn't run the country. Everybody knows Goldman Sachs, there I said it, Goldman Sachs, through the Rothschild banking cartel, through the Sabbatean network of secret societies, controls the United States through the Exchange Stability Fund and control of the Treasury since 1934. That's what's going on. And so the truth about it is this. We have to stay in prayer, in the aggregate, that Trump gets in office, because I don't believe for one second that man wants to take us to World War III. That man wants to make the United States profitable again. Because remember, somebody sent me an email this morning, a very highly respected author that I know, And I sent an article about how Trump was not taking any kind of salaries whatsoever, and he was going to basically refund it back into the Treasury for his being president. And he's also taking a lot of the money he's made from foreign corporations, et cetera, with his Trump businesses in foreign countries and refunding it back to these people who are refunding it to the Treasury. So what's interesting about all of this is Trump's a bottom-line guy. He looks at the deficit. He looks at the trade deals. He looks at how bad the trade deals are. He looks at our deficit spending, and he realizes, hey, wait a minute, we can't continue doing this because I'm used to looking at profit and loss statements, which all business guys have to learn how to read if you're in a big business, and I don't want to operate at these losses that we're having to endure. And see, that's what he's looking at. And a war will only further increase our national debt to the Rothschild banking military industrial complex, Austin. So I don't think he has any interest in doing it at all. He just wants to make the United States profitable again, or make the United States great again, as he puts it in so eloquent terms. Son, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I actually watched one of the documentaries last week on him, on, you know, basically just his whole life growing up with his dad, how his dad had the apartments in Queens and how he expanded and, you know, hit ruts in the 90s and bounced back. But you're absolutely right. It's deep down, bottom line, his entire life, he's been a very, very successful businessman. And you're right. That's what he needs to do, and that's what he's going to do, is look at the bottom line on everything. And every time we go to war, the only people that profit are the globalists and the military-industrial complex. Everybody else essentially gets stuck, either with the bill or with the deaths of their children, with the soldiers, or their own life when they go over there and they enter into these contractual obligations with the military, essentially, as military personnel. Because you guys have to understand, I have a real, real hard issue with a lot of the stuff the government does to the military. The patriots and the people that sign up and go into the military, that want to protect this country, that want to preserve the Constitution, that want to support it, that's incredible to me. I mean, that you're giving everything you have to your country. But the problem is the government now and the globalists have figured out how to use that and manipulate people as a tool, as a pawn in the game to go over and fight their overseas wars in Vietnam, in the Middle East, et cetera. You can name as many as you want. And majority of the time, there is very little, if any, threat to our constitutional freedoms whatsoever here in the United States. It's simply to only further their agenda. Like I've told you guys repeatedly, Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction, nor did Iraq have a Federal Reserve-controlled bank before the invasion of 2003, when we basically went in and bombed that entire country into an oblivion and took it over. Then, just, you know, by coincidence, we put in a Federal Reserve Bank. So, no, Trump, in my opinion, will have no legitimate reason to want to go to war with anybody unless we have some type of significant attack on this country, and retaliation is the only option. That's the only way I can see it, Ed.
Well, it's like Einstein said. He goes, I don't know, you know, what World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the kind of technology that we have now. I mean, we've wiped the civilizations off this planet numerous times already in the past, and we can do it again. It's just crazy that we have that type of technology available to us, which, of course, you know, is interesting. Because, you know, it's funny, when God sent forth Jesus, remember what the Bible says? The angels came down when Jesus was born, and he said, peace, goodwill towards men. And they were all excited because that great enmity between God and man had stopped. That had stopped. Because now God was sending his own son through the Virgin Mary, you know, through that birth, to bring us hope. And the enmity, the separation between God and man, had changed forever. That's why it says peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And these were, remember, these are the heavenly hosts singing. So this message was coming directly out of heaven from God Almighty. And this is what we have when we go to the cross, when we go to Christ, we go to that resonance frequency lock that we've talked about on the show so many times, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said, he goes, as I am in you, you are in me. He's talking about the frequency, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is pretty much everything we have now, because it infills us. We allow it to come in. We ask it to come in when we accept Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we create a resonance, a frequency lock with the Creator of the universe through Christ. And it's so amazing what he did. That's why the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. because it was over. That great enmity, that fighting between God and man was over with. Because before that, remember, Jesus had not been here, so we had the Old Testament, because there was so much wickedness from Genesis chapter 6 that God had to pull the reset cord and flush the planet, you know, with the flood of Noah. And, you know, there's over 100 civilizations that record that happening. And what's interesting about that is it got just as bad again, because these fallen angels were still up to their mischief and their filthy stuff they do. I mean, look at that mess that we talked about on Wednesday with that neon movie coming out with Keanu Reeves from Hollywood and all the crazy stuff they're doing on that. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be again with the returning of the Son of Man, or on Christ's return. And what's interesting about this, is Austin, is that, you know, because Christ came for us, because we now have peace on earth and goodwill towards men, the Old Testament has faded away as the original covenant. Not that it's not there anymore, because that covenant was made by God through Abraham and through Moses. But the thing about it is that we now have a better, greater covenant through Christ. And see, to me, the Christians on this planet have become the chosen ones of God, because we are the ones that have accepted Jesus Christ for who he is and who he said he was. And so now we have the ability to go directly to God, right to the throne room through Jesus Christ, and have our petitions delivered by Christ. See, when God looks at us, he only sees the righteousness of Christ, because our energy field, our frequency through the Holy Spirit is resonating through Jesus, and we are at one with the creator of the universe. It's amazing that he did this for us, that he gave us that type of authority. And every time I talk about it, it chokes me up a little bit, because I realize who God is. See, we have put him in a box. Churches have put God in a box. They put him in a cathedral, or they put him in a worship service, or they put him in a, you know, in an assembly, you know, with people worshiping and singing. They put him in a box. They don't get it that he is an energy field. He creates this energy field through us, through the Holy Spirit, and his essence permeates everything. Every living thing is permeated by the essence of God. He tries to explain that to us in the New Testament, when he says, hey, I know how many hairs are on your head. I know everything about you. And see, that's the thing. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, Austin, when God's presence is within us, it changes everything. It is truly peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Now, these guys who are running this new world order, who are trying to drag us into World War III, all they care about is destroying peace on earth. All they care about is separating us from God. All they want to do is give us false teachings. The Bible clearly says that in latter times, some will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. It says that in Timothy. And see, and this is what we get into. I just talked to Doug Hagman for about 30, 40 minutes before this show today. And I talked to Doug, and I said, hey, Doug, you know, it's interesting to me, because, you know, we started talking about the show on Wednesday, and he's going to promote our show that we did 2 days ago. And I told him, I said, Doug, I said, you know, what's going on with you? And he goes, well, Ted, he goes, the problem is there are so many Christians out there that attack the Hagman and Hagman show, who attack a lot of the people on our show. And I said, Doug, I said, there's a reason for that. Now, everybody listen to me for this. This is so important. When the Bible says that you're following deceiving spirits and things taught by demons, it could also be said this way in another vernacular. And I'm not trying to rewrite the word. I'm just saying this is how I would paraphrase it from a physics standpoint. It's very obvious that some people who are just following deceiving spirits and things taught by demons, like it says in 1 Timothy, are also in the wrong energy field, the wrong frequency field, they're not with God. Because Bible says that if we know them, know Jesus, we'll obey his commands and we'll do what pleases him. That's what the word says. Now, attacking fellow Christians because you disagree with a guest they have on a show, or you disagree with something they said on a podcast, and getting on there in the comment section and making all these big brouhahas, or writing an essay or an article about why so-and-so is such a horrible person, it's not the same energy field as God. The Bible says that Lucifer is the accuser of the brethren. Hey, guys, if you don't like something that I say, if I say something wrong, you can send me a quick note. You've got my emails at healthmasters.com. And what you can do is you can say, hey, Ted, what do you mean by this? And I'll respond real quick. And if I have to issue a retraction or a clarification, I'll be happy to do that. But getting online and attacking me and saying horrible things about me or about Doug or about Steve or about Dave or about Sheila, there's no reason to do that, because you're not supposed to be in the energy field with Lucifer to be the accuser of the brethren. Now, we have to also understand a lot of these people that are involved with doing this, Austin, are being paid by the government as trolls to do this. I mean, I'm talking about tens of thousands of people who do this globally, who are paid by their respective governments to go in and discredit people intentionally. Doug told me that story on Trump was a complete and total fabrication that was put together back in 2015 when he originally said that he was running for the presidency. And he said it was probably, and he listed the names, but I'm not going to give you their names, one of three people who were Republican candidates against Trump who actually started and paid for it, and Doug gave me the organization that paid for it. The entire dossier that was given to John McCain, every word of it, Doug has now proven was a complete and total fabrication. See, this is what you have to understand. I'm preaching Jesus and Christ crucified. I'm preaching the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching repentance and accepting Christ and being born again. I'm preaching the virgin birth and that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. I'm preaching exactly what the Word of God says, but I'm taking another step in which I'm explaining it from a physics standpoint about the incredible power and energy that we have through the infilling of the Holy Spirit through Christ, and how His blood issues a resonance frequency through scalar waves, through all time-space, to continually restore us to the righteousness of Christ. I mean, I'm explaining it from a physics standpoint about the Bible is exactly right. It's exactly right. And it's the kind of stuff that I talk about that brings people who are scientists or biologists or chemists or physicists or people that are really trained in the university setting as far as energy fields into understanding what a resonance frequency lock is with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like this. Our local station here in Central Florida is 91.1 for Christian radio. It used to be WCIE. I believe it was bought over by Salem Communications now. Now, anytime you're driving farther than you need to drive, anytime you start driving out of the range of that signal, you'll start getting interference on that channel, and eventually it'll fade away. See, that's kind of like with God. Whenever you walk too far away from God, your resonance frequency starts to lose its signal. Now listen to me, friends. This is really, really, this is a good teaching right here. Your resonance frequency starts to lose its signal. And then all of a sudden, you'll be just driving down the road, and that same 91.1 that used to be WCI, a Christian channel, pops up in another completely different area with another show that may or may not be Christians. And see, this is what happens when we don't stay in prayer, when we don't stay in the Word, when we don't walk in love, when we don't walk in forgiveness, when we walk in bitterness, in hatred, in resentment, in anxiety, and jealousy. I mean, the Bible says where there is jealousy and envy, there is every evil work. So what happens is the more you walk in these other areas that have a different frequency, the less you're going to be tuned in to the frequency of the universe, which is love. I mean, that's what Jesus, all Jesus preached was love, love, love. And love is God's harmonic frequency because He loves us so much. So when you enter into His rest and you're infused with the Holy Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit of love, you don't want to attack people like George Soros does or like the Bushes have done or the CIA have done, you know, with their moles that they've had on the internet. You don't want to do that. You want to walk in love in God's frequency, synced to Him. So you obtain what's called synchronicity. You are walking with God. You are talking with God. You're being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're constantly in prayer. You're constantly communing with God. It is not that you're hearing voices, but you can feel the presence through the love that just infuses you, and you know who you are through Christ Jesus. And when you do that, He gives you the peace that passes all understanding as long as you keep your hearts in minds in Christ Jesus. Which means if a brother offends you, Matthew 18, you go to the brother and you say, hey, brother, this doesn't make any sense what you said. That the brother is walking in love. He responds in like, and he'll do the same thing. Like, let me give you an example. I've got some neighbors who live close to me. Some of them are good, some of them are awful, right? Just be honest with you, they're awful. Some of them are really, really good. My neighbor who lives right next to me, he's very, very good. Great guy. And the other day, I have an oak tree that's on our property line that's next to my driveway that was starting to push up the edge of the driveway. The oak tree doesn't do anything for my property, doesn't give me any shade, but it shades his garage and his part of his house. And so I asked him, I said, his name's Kevin. I said, Kevin, look, I said, I need to take this tree out. It really does a lot for your house, but it doesn't do anything for my house. But it's pushing up my driveway. Would you be willing to perhaps stump grind the edge of my driveway with me if you want to keep this tree? Or would you care if I took it out? He goes, oh, no, Ted, please don't take that tree out. It shades the whole side of my house. Yes, I'll be more than happy to pay a few hundred dollars, whatever it's going to cost, to share that with you, and we'll stump grind that, and we'll leave the tree in. Now, guys, I didn't have to do that. It's not on his property. I could have gone in and just left that, taken that tree out. He'd have come home one day, it'd have been gone, and I'd have had a bunch of firewood, and the tree would have been out of here. But I didn't do that because I'm trying to walk in love as a neighbor with a frequency of generosity, a frequency of compassion, a frequency of understanding, and a frequency of making people realize that do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See, if I had the other side of the house and I had a tree there that was shading my house and it was on a neighbor's yard and he wanted to take it out, I would say, please don't do that. And if he did that, I'd be kind of irritated. See, that's how we're supposed to walk through life. If we love one another and we're all according to a, all been called according to a specific purpose to basically bring other people into this body of Christ to experience the love it is to be a Christian, then we can do that and have this incredible opportunity just to share with people and be with people who are of like minds. That's why so many times when you have somebody work for you, you know, or they're a coworker, let's say that, and you start talking to them and you feel that frequency pushback. It's like taking two north poles of a magnet and pushing them together and they force themselves apart. And you're like, wow, what's that all about? Or you feel that unbelievable energy drain as soon as you get around somebody. You go, wow, man, every time I get around you, it's like I'm losing my charge up, man. I need to go reboost my batteries. That's because their frequency is not the same as yours. And remember, we're an electrical being. We're a spiritual being experiencing a physical existence, but we also are an energy field. And when our energy field is not coherent, it's not synced up with another person's energy field, you push each other apart. I can't tell you how many people I met in college that you'd be talking to for 10 or 15 minutes. You're kind of like, gosh, I just feel like I need to go scrub down with some lye soap after I talk to this person. It's awful. I feel drained. That's why. Because their energy is not your energy. Their frequency is not your frequency. I've got so many friends of mine that I've had over the years. I mean, the other day I had a birthday party. I was 60 years old. It was last year. I'm 61 now. And we had like 30, 40 people here that I've known. Some of these people I've known for four decades, 40, 50 years. And it was interesting because they were here, and I had a few other people that were here that had just gotten to know me a few years ago. And they go, wow, you've got friends that you've had for 40 years? And I go, yeah, a lot of them. And they go, how's that possible? And I'm like, well, we all feel the same way. We have the same energy field. It's like we have a synchronicity among us. So if I don't see them for a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, it doesn't make any difference. When I see them, it's like we've been best buddies and we've talked every day. It's just that's what Christianity is supposed to be. So when we have people attacking us, nobody's attacked me. This hasn't been me. I'm just doing this right now because Doug's getting attacked again. And when this kind of stuff happens, I grieve because Doug is part of my frequency. He's part of my, how should you say this in a way that makes sense? He's kind of like part of my family, the family of God through Christ. And I don't like family members being attacked because here's what I've learned a long time ago, guys, and I'm going to be very direct about this. I can't choose my family members. Some of them are nutbags. They're nuts, okay? But I can choose my friends. And when I choose my friends, and I've been a friend with someone for a couple of years, I become extremely loyal to that person because I've developed that synchronicity, the synchronistic lockup, and you know, in the frequency. And so there's not a lot my friends can ask me to do that if it's possible, as long as it's legal, that I won't try to do for them because I will do everything I possibly can. Let me give you another example. This week, I've got a dear friend of mine last weekend call me up, and he has Lyme, not that he had to have Lyme disease, he had MRSA. He had MRSA on his face, and it was spreading really, really fast. And they called me up, and they said, we don't know what to do. The antibiotics aren't working. So I said, okay, look, there's some things you can do from a nutritional standpoint that'll do this, including using Manuka honey out of New Zealand. And you pack the MRSA, you put the honey on your face, and it helps to kill the MRSA. And so I put a whole protocol together for them, and he felt absolutely awful. So I drove an hour with supplements on Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember what day it was. I believe it was Saturday. I drove all the way up there on Saturday where they live, an hour drive away, to like pretty much personally hand deliver a few products to them that I basically gave to them because they're my friends. And now he called me up last night. He was just profusely thanking me. He goes, I don't know what to say, Ted. This thing is completely starting to recede. I feel so much better. I felt so bad when I called you the other night. And he goes, I don't know what to say. I am so blessed that you helped me. And I said, I'm blessed to be your friend. And the helping is just what I do, because that's what we do with our supplements with Health Masters. We produce the finest, highest quality supplements that we can possibly produce in the world. And that's what we do. If I can make a better product, I'd make a better product. And that's why I'm so finicky about what we carry. Years ago, we carried soy protein. And we sold a lot of soy protein. This is 20 years ago. Over 20 years ago now. 25 years ago. And this is before all the stuff started coming out about soy. And I never did like soy, but I thought, well, we have a huge demand for soy. Finally, I just got convicted by the Holy Spirit. I started doing research on it. And I just went into my secretary one day and I said, take all the soy, ship it back to the suppliers. We're done with it. It's whatever. And she goes, well, we sell a lot of it. I said, I don't care. I can't sell it. I said, I won't take it. I just learned more information on it. And I said, I can't do this. I will not allow myself to do it. Same thing is true with our HGH stimulate. Years ago, we had sorbitol in it. Well, sorbitol is a really bad sweetener for diabetics. And I had a friend of mine whose son was playing college football, and he wanted to start taking the HGH stimulate, but he had diabetes. And I told him, I said, let me check to see what the sorbitol does for diabetics. I checked, and it was bad. It was really bad. And so I told my manufacturer, who manufactures our supplements, I said, I want the sorbitol out. We'll use a different type of sweetener. That's got to go. I don't want that in my products anymore. See, guys, that's what we do with Health Masters. I make sure that I can provide you the best quality products I possibly can. Why? Because I'm not answering to you. I'm answering to the Holy Spirit. I'm answering to God Almighty Himself, because I am in synchronicity with Him. And if I can't do the best I can, and if I can't provide that for you guys, I'm going to change it. I'm going to fix it. And that's why so many times we'll have products. Like with this perfect example with the Purple Sticks. We called the manufacturer. We said, look, we don't want cyanide cobalamin in this. Get it out. And they took it out for us. Now, some manufacturers don't do that. You try. And we try to tell people, okay, well, this is the way we have to get this when we can't help that, because it's not horrible for you, but it's not great for you. It's not as good as the methylcobalamin. But the point is this, we have to all try to do that in all the areas of our life. We have to maintain synchronicity with the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, if we have friends that are Christians and they're hurting and they need some help, and it's within our power to try to help them, we have to try to do that. I can't tell you how many times I've sent stuff to people for free. I've erased invoices, marked things down, done everything I possibly can, just gave them stuff because they didn't have the money to do it. I did it over and over, especially back in the 80s. And people say, well, how could you do that? I said, well, because I felt I was being led by the Holy Spirit to do that. Because sometimes you just have to be that way. Sometimes you're driving down the road and you see some guy on the side of the road. He's got a sign up, says, God bless you. I will work for food, you know, homeless, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if he's homeless. Gosh, he could be driving a Cadillac that's a block parked away. I have no idea. But, you know, you can kind of tell by the way they're acting if they're sincere, if they're running a scam. I can't tell you how many, literally hundreds of times Austin has seen me and the kids have seen me. You know, give the guy a couple bucks. What's a couple dollars going to do? It'll at least get him a cup of coffee if he wants that, or something to eat if he wants that, or a beer if he wants that. I can't help what he does with the money. But the point is this. All I want to do is just try to be that person who says, hey, I'm seeing somebody in need. I'm a Christian. Let's do the best we can to try to help that person. Does any of this make any sense to you, Oz?
Oh, yeah, it's excellent. I mean, this is really good information you're giving out. I'm enjoying it, listening to it.
Okay, let me get off the preachy thing. I'll get off my soapbox. By the way, Hungary has now moved to eliminate all non-government organizations and corporations that are funded by globalist George Soros. I'm starting to really like Hungary. Budapest, Hungary, in a move indicative of a major pushback against the dominant Western-led neoliberal order, basically controlled through George Soros, who is a Rothschild stooge, Hungary has announced plans to purge all groups funded by globalist megadonor George Soros. This would be like us getting rid of Black Lives Matter in the United States. That's what this would be like. You know, other groups like he has, MoveOn.org, all this crazy stuff. The European Union member will use all the tools at its disposal to target and sweep out, remember Russia's already done this, all non-governmental organizations funded by Soros, a Hungarian-born Jew financier who has become one of the U.S. Democrat Party's major sources of funding, according to a Hungarian Prime Minister, Viktor Orban's ruling party. Now remember this, guys, I'm going to say this is a little bit of history for you. Back in the early 1900s, when J.P. Morgan pushed and pushed and pushed to get the Federal Reserve Bank in the United States, he was being used as a proxy by the Rothschilds to get this done. And he was considered to be one of the wealthiest men in the world because of the way he presented himself and because of the seemingly endless amount of money and reserve capital he could pull up at the blink of an eye. Well, upon his death, he was only worth, I think it was, you know, $20 or $30 million, which was a lot of money back then, but it was certainly not the kind of money that he was projected to have. And what they found was this. He was a stooge, a patsy, a mouthpiece for the Rothschild Banking Corporation. So guys, this is what Soros is right now. He's a mouthpiece for the Rothschilds and their New World Order. And I'm so proud that Hungary has said, you know what, guys, you need to get out of our country. We've had enough of you. What do you think, son?
This is going to start happening more and more, man. As you saw, the huge population of the United States voted for Trump. All these countries, everybody's starting to realize that we don't want this anymore. We don't want this massive crime. We don't want this stuff to be brought in and allowed to happen, especially to have people like George Soros directly contribute to a lot of this stuff, including Black Lives Matter, and directly fund them so they can just get in all types of shenanigans and all types of nonsense that no civilized society should be dealing with at our level now. I mean, the United States is very, very upper class, especially as a whole. And so bringing in and funding people that cause this social disruption is completely and totally illegal, and it's a complete and total violation of everybody else's rights in this country. So, yeah, I think George Soros needs to be booted out of this country. They seem to go put him on some island somewhere to die, and he can just live out the rest of his life not bothering anybody else. Because in my opinion, he doesn't do anything productive for pretty much any society in this entire world, which is kind of sad. I mean, that's what you're going to be remembered by. Yeah, you started fights. You started riots. Congrats. Your real contribution to society.
I always remember, he was a Nazi. He was a Nazi sympathizer. He worked with the Nazis in turning in his own Jewish friends and family members and people that he knew to get their stuff and have them locked up in concentration camps. He said it was some of the best times of his life. He then left there and went into banking with the Rothschilds in England after that. I mean, this guy is a scum bucket. He is bad news. And the problem is the United States, because of our quote-unquote immigration policies and the things that we do as far as freedom of speech, which I understand is very, very important. I got that. But when you have a subversive organization like George Soros, like Black Lives Matters or MoveOn.org and all the other things he funds, you need to realize this guy just needs to be told he needs to leave the United States, go to Israel, wherever he wants to go, and leave us alone and stay out of our politics. This guy has completely collapsed nations by collapsing their currencies to make huge amounts of money. He's bad, bad, bad news, almost as bad of news. Well, it's probably worse bad news than Lady Gaga, who is going to do another Illuminati halftime show in the Super Bowl. So if you guys still watch the Super Bowl, which is just basically, it's not even really sports, it's just entertainment, according to their own literature, you need to realize that you're going to be subjected to a barrage of satanic, subliminal, Luciferian imagery at the Super Bowl halftime show. So guys, every year it just gets worse. So I suggest if you're going to watch the Super Bowl, turn it off during halftime and don't put that mental imagery into your mind, because your right brain, remember, can't forget an image. It always remembers images. Again, that's why I believe that Apple computers, when you turn them on, you get the bite of the apple brights up and tries to burn the back of your retina. It's so bright, which they don't have to do that because they're trying to burn, this is my opinion, that apple picture into your brain so you don't forget it from a subconscious standpoint. It's all about imagery with these guys, and that's why it's all about numbers, numerology, and imagery. That's why they do what they do with the upside down crosses and all the other things they do with the pentagrams and all this crazy stuff they're involved with. So I highly suggest you don't watch the Super Bowl presentation with Lady Gaga. What do you think, son?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I wouldn't watch that either. I won't even be watching the game regardless. I don't watch an NFL.
I don't even know who's playing.
I mean, it's all paid for. I mean, it's cool if that's what you like as far as like entertainment, like watching wrestling and stuff like that, like WWF. I mean, that's fine if you have understand it from that aspect, but some people get way too serious about it and they let their entire lives, especially during football season, be dictated about who's playing who and the fantasy football leagues, and it's quite embarrassing, honestly, when people talk about that stuff. But in other news now, in Los Angeles County, or L.A. County is known as, Sheriff Jim McDonnell said yesterday now that the agency, because of the massive increase in crime in the last few years, will begin deploying unmanned aerial devices to aid deputies responding to arson scenes, suspected bombings, and hostage situations. But he promises the device will not be used to surveil residences at all. The sheriff praised the $10,000 device as a useful tool that can give deputies a life-saving advantage in potentially deadly situations. Now, here's the two sides of the story that you have to understand with this. A, L.A. County and California in general is having a crime epidemic that they've never even seen before, much more than even it was in the 90s, primarily from the immigration coming up from the southern borders and a lot of the drug cartels and drug members that are moving into the country. Secondly, I understand the concept of aerial drone deployment for surveillance as far as over situations like that, suspected bombings. I got all that. The problem is, as we've seen with everything, it never stops there. That's always its foot in the door, is it has to be for your protection or the officer's protection at a bombing scene or at a hostage situation. The problem is, it won't stay there for another year or two. It'll escalate to something else. I always tell people this because so many people were in favor of this ridiculous law in Florida, and now everybody hates it, simply to the fact that it's completely unconstitutional. Years ago, about 15 years ago, they decided that they were going to implement seatbelt laws in the state of Florida. So if you weren't wearing your seatbelt and you got pulled over for something, they could write you a secondary citation for a seatbelt, for seatbelt violation. Now, the entire concept of that has always eluded me, because in the state of Florida, if you're over the age of 21, you don't even have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle. Now, I've ridden motorcycles since I was 5 years old. I've been on the street since I was 16 years old on motorcycles, and I've seen some pretty grisly wrecks, and so has Dad. And if you've ever seen somebody's head impact the pavement without a helmet on, it is a very, very rough sight to see. So for Florida to say, no, if you're 21, you don't have to wear a helmet, you can go down the interstate at 80 miles an hour and wreck and we'll basically scrape you up. But if you're driving a car around town at 35 miles an hour and we see you, we're going to be able to give you a ticket. Now, my whole point in saying that was when the seatbelt ticket law originally came in, they swore up and down it was going to be a secondary violation, meaning they could never pull you for it. It could only be a citation given if they were pulling you for a prior infraction, speeding, red light, etc. Well, then it wasn't 2 years after they finally got that passed in the state of Florida. They came in and said, well, for the safety of everyone, for the safety, for your protection, we're going to mandate seatbelt violations are required even if you're not getting pulled for a prior violation. Meaning, if we see you driving down the road and you don't have your seatbelt on, we can pull you immediately, question you, and write you a seatbelt citation. Guys, that is unbelievably unconstitutional in every single area of law that they were even allowed to get that passed. You're not doing anything. You're not running red lights. You're not running stop signs. Where's the victim? Where's the injured party? I'm driving my vehicle that I've paid for, that I pay insurance on, that's registered in my name, and you're telling me you're fining me for not wearing my seatbelt. That is unbelievably egregious to me. But again, that's why I go back to what they're saying here in Los Angeles County with these drones never being used to surveil residences. This is the next step of what they're going to do. And the problem is, California honestly probably needs this, as much as I hate to say it, because it's gotten completely out of hand over there. This is an article from the LA Times. They got this information directly from the FBI. Now, understand, 29% of inmates in federal prison are illegal aliens currently right now in the United States. Almost a third in the federal prisons are illegal aliens. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Now, 40% of all workers in L.A. County, Los Angeles County, are working for cash and are not filing taxes. This is primarily because they're predominantly illegal immigrants, what I've talked about before. Now, the other issue, too, 95%, guys, listen to this, 95% of warrants for murder in Los Angeles are for illegal aliens. That means only 5% of the warrants issued for murder charges are going to people that are legally supposed to be here. That's a serious issue. If you guys don't agree with me, look up the numbers and read it for yourself. Also, too, the FBI has reported at least half of all gang members in Los Angeles are illegal aliens from south of the border. Nearly 60% of all occupants of HUD properties, which are basically the the government subsidy or the state subsidy housing are illegal. 21 radio stations in L.A. are now Spanish-speaking. Now, if you're telling me there's not a correlation between all of this happening in L.A. in the last 30 years and their massive influx in crime, you're dreaming. Now you see why L.A. County is saying they need a surveillance drone out to see what's going on to protect their officers. Again, I find that it's going to escalate very rapidly to people around there, and they're going to use the drone unconstitutionally, in my opinion. But again, this is the whole reason why we have said, and Trump said, and pretty much everybody with a moderately high IQ has said, we have to cut down and stop this illegal immigration. If they want to come in legally through the direct routes, they can do so, but we have to stop this massive influx of people that have no business being here, that don't want to contribute, that don't want to help, that don't want to pay taxes, and certainly don't want to follow even basic laws or morals, and they just want to run around and do whatever they feel like doing. So that's my kind of rant on that today. I got kind of frustrated when I saw some of those statistics, but they're there. They're from the FBI and from the LA Times. You can look them up and double check yourself. That's kind of sad for California, in my opinion.
Well, yes, and now we haven't vetted those statistics. I looked at that article today too, and I want to make sure you guys realize we're reading from stuff that we were sent from the internet, and we want to make sure that you guys understand that we have not vetted those, but it doesn't make any difference if those statistics aren't exactly right. There's a huge problem with gang members who are all part of the gangs coming out of Mexico in LA County. There's a huge amount of radio stations that are broadcasting only in Spanish in LA County, and a large percentage of the crimes in LA County are being committed and being by repeated violators who are basically these illegal immigrants. So we have to get something here through our heads as collectively if we possibly can. The drones, using it, let's say, for instance, if I got an L.A. County gang and they're basically set up in a house and they've got armed security around the outside of the house, sending a drone in to check that mess out is probably a pretty doggone good idea to prevent yourself from getting shot. Now, the truth of the matter is this. The drone is covering up the symptom of the problem. The problem is the illegal immigration into California. That's the problem. The drone's being used to try to prevent the police from being shot who don't even like going into certain areas of LA, just like in Detroit. So what ends up happening is, to correct the problem, we've got to not treat the symptom. We've got to stop the immigration from coming in. California is bankrupt. They're billions of dollars in the red. They can't print their own currency. It's getting worse and worse and worse. They're continually increasing taxes on the people that are working there to pay the people who don't want to work. And it's sad because they're massively increasing the minimum wages on a regular basis. The farming regulation there is incredibly horrible for the guys who have farms and ranches. I've got a friend who has one who called me this past week. The water restrictions and all the things that they do is just off the chart because it's all government red tape. You know, Trump needs to come in, number one, and get rid of the Department of Education. That's number two. He needs to also get rid of the Department of Energy. They need to just go away. Reagan was going to do all of that when he came in. George Bush stopped him after Reagan got shot. All of these big, huge organizations have no functional purpose. The EPA doesn't need to be there. Department of Homeland Security does not need to be there. None of this stuff needs to be there. They're giant bureaucratic organizations which employ hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in the aggregate, and they need to be completely eliminated to try to help balance this budget. The Federal Reserve banks need to be completely eliminated. We need to nationalize their assets and get rid of them altogether and pretty much have Congress start printing the money like they need to. And once we stop doing that, and we don't have to bother selling our paper to other countries to try to finance our debt, we don't have to worry about petrodollars. The United States is so rich as a country with national resources, it's amazing. But our government has gone in now and they've nationalized so much of our land, the government, the federal government has, to sell to other countries to try to raise money to cover the debt and the expenses they're putting out. And if you understood the full scope of that, it would absolutely blow your mind. That's why we're having these areas now that are going to be our living areas that we're allowed to go into. And if we don't make sure that Trump gets in office and he doesn't stop all of this mess, guys, soon we'll be living in a 150-square-foot cubicle with four kids. I mean, this is where they want it to go because they're basically mortgaging us all over the planet and selling off large tracts of land, especially to the Chinese, out west. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. By the way, let's talk about some of the nutrition stuff. Should some foods be treated as a drug? This is by Forbes. Forbes, she's a PhD. If you're one of those people who can't eat a normal-sized portion of chips or cookies or ice cream or bread or potatoes, then the short answer is probably yes. These foods should be treated as a drug because you lose control of how much you eat. There is evidence of strong similarity between drug addiction and food addiction. In the obesity epidemic, the role of addiction, the authors tell us that highly palatable foods, usually sweet, salty, or high fat, can be abused in the same way as an addict abuses drugs. They also cite the below listed similarities between conventional drugs and specific components in certain foods. Both food and drugs induce tolerance over time, whereby increasing amounts are needed to reach and maintain intoxication or to become satisfied. Number two, withdrawal symptoms such as distress and dysphoria often occur upon discontinuation of a drug or during dieting. You see this with sugar withdrawal. Number three, a high incidence of relapse with both types of behavior, which is why so many people who lose weight gain the weight back because they start eating the same foods that made them gain weight to begin with. And number four, these symptoms in relation to food parallel to a remarkable extent those described in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders used for substance abuse and dependence. Now, I'm going to say one thing about this, and I'm going to go to another topic. What happens with food is a dopamine trigger, especially sugar. And if you are addicted to something, whatever it is, you know, to working out or to doing something stupid on the internet or whatever you're doing, playing video games, you're getting dopamine triggers. And a lot of people will stop doing those things and they will start eating food to get the same dopamine release. This is one of the reasons that they put high fructose corn syrup in almost everything because it's highly addictive. It turns off your mechanism telling you that you're full, and it tells you that you're starving to death. Now, they do this on purpose because it makes you eat more of their food. It's one of the reasons they give you monosodium glutamate because it's extremely addictive also because it's an excitotoxin because it has glutamic acid in it, which actually eats holes in your brain. So they've got some crazy stuff they're putting into the food supply, and the USDA knows this. The FDA knows this. They don't care. Because the lobbyists from these giant organizations, these food companies, are continually putting these foods, these compounds, into your food to make them more and more and more addictive. We know that aspartic acid and phenylalanine and methanol are used to produce aspartame, which is highly addictive, because there's an aspartic acid receptor site of the brain which triggers a dopamine release. In addition to that, we know that the methanol in aspartic acid in NutraSweet cannot be made non-poisonous. It's paint thinner, basically. It's a neurological toxin that cannot be made non-poisonous. But because of its highly addictive properties in some people who are addicted to those types of products, people would rather fight you, get into a fight, or take a beating than not drink diet sodas. I mean, I left a church a few years ago because there was a big pastor. He was very obese. He lost a bunch of weight, but he was still addicted to the diet sodas, had a horrible problem with depression, talked about it from the pulpit. Diet sodas also caused depression. Finally, I couldn't listen to it anymore, and we left. Austin left. I left. Sharon left. We all left. Couldn't deal with it anymore. Now, there were some other factors involved in that also, but the point was this. That was one of the primary factors I left because, guys, if a pastor is obese, number one, or if the pastor is admitting to having problems with being addicted to any kind of substance, you kind of need to realize that maybe he's not in frequency lock with the Holy Spirit, because that is not of God. God does not call us to be addicted to other things besides the Word of God. God wants us to be infilled with His Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis, not to crave these other things in concentrations like this. So guys, if you're having a problem with certain food, you need to admit, number one, you've got that issue. Like, for instance, if you buy a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts and they're freshly cooked and it triggers something in you and you got to eat the entire dozen of Krispy Kremes, you probably don't need to put that stuff in your house. You probably don't need to buy it. If you're sitting there and you're having a bowl of ice cream, but you don't want one bowl, you want two bowls, you want three bowls, you want to finish the half gallon, you probably don't need to buy that. If you're really overweight and you're trying to lose weight, but you love to eat bread, which we told you so many times, it's like taking a fat pill or pizza. It's a fat pill. You probably don't need to eat pizza. You probably don't need to eat bread anymore. Fill up on chickens and vegetables and things like that. And high fiber foods and salads. You say, well, they don't taste as good. Well, there's no limit. Just eat as many vegetables as you want. Put some salt on them. Put some butter on them. Put some olive oil on them. Do whatever you want to do. I personally love the way my wife makes sauerkraut. You think sauerkraut, I mean, that sounds awful. No, if you cook sauerkraut right, it's absolutely wonderful. And Sharon's going to be putting a new recipe in a book we have coming out here in a few weeks on sauerkraut. It's an amazing way she cooks it. It's delicious, and it's a fermented food, and it really is incredibly healthy for your intestinal tract, and it really helps you to maintain your weight because it actually helps to push things through you and keep your body cleaned out. In addition to that, vegetables do the same thing. So I had a friend come over just the other day, and he's about 150 pounds overweight, and I said to him, I said, dude, man, you got to drop some weight. And he goes, yeah. He's an appliance repair guy. And I finally said to him, I said, you know, when are you going to get serious about this? You going to wait until you have adult onset diabetes? You going to wait until you start having amputations? When are you going to get serious about your diet, man? I mean, as far as your food. He goes, well, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know what to do. I said, well, I've told you before what to do. I'm going to tell you again. Eat all the chicken and vegetables you want. You don't have to cut back on the calories. I mean, you weigh 350 pounds. It's going to take a lot of calories to keep you going. You can't eat enough chicken and vegetables to get the kind of calories that you're using right now to maintain your weight. You can't do it. I mean, you've got to be eating pizza and bread and cheese and milk and all that other kind of stuff, that high concentration of calories. I mean, I remember Austin and I talked to a chiropractor years ago. Great guy, great chiropractor. Weighed like 550 pounds. He said he could go out and eat two large pepperoni pizzas and put down like 2 liters of soft drinks. I mean, with the high fructose corn syrup in one sitting.
Yep.
Because it takes a lot of calories. It takes a lot of calories to maintain 550 pounds. It takes a lot of calories. You got to eat like over 10,000 calories a day to maintain that weight. So if you just start eating chicken and vegetables, you have grilled or baked chicken, that's fine. It's phenomenally good the way my wife makes it. And have the vegetables and eat as many vegetables as you want. I mean, pile your plate full of vegetables, eat 2 or 3 pieces of chicken, and do it 4 or 5 times a day. And you'll be amazed at how much weight you're going to lose almost immediately. I know the last bodybuilding contest I entered in, it was 37 years ago, back in 1980 now, I ended up, you know, eating 3 chickens a day with vegetables, and I burned body fat like crazy, Austin, doing that. I got really, really lean and really, really cut up from doing that and did really well in the contest. But the whole point was this. It's a discipline, a mindset, and you don't have to go hungry. It's really important. You could actually eat more food and lose weight. And that's what I told my buddy for the appliance repair stuff. I said, dude, you can eat as much as you want. You don't have to be hungry. Well, I get hungry and I want to eat. I said, it's okay. You can eat as much of this as you want, and you'll lose the weight. It won't make a difference. You don't have to go to bed hungry. Now, ideally, what you should do is not to eat for 3 to 4 hours before you go to sleep. And right before you go to bed, take a scoop of our HGH Stimulate. And that will really help to burn. That'll help burn body fat off you like you're putting butter in a microwave. If you don't eat for 4 hours before you go to bed, and right when you go to bed, use the HGH Stimulate and take a drink that first thing right before you go to bed. And then in the morning, when you get up on an empty stomach, drink another scoop of it. And it'll really help to stimulate the pituitary gland to pump out HGH, and it'll really help to burn body fat. I mean, quickly. You'd be amazed what that does. So, guys, there's all kinds of things you can do from a natural standpoint to feel good, have tremendous energy. And you can't look at food as something that you have to have like it's a drug. You simply can't do that because it's simply not healthy for you. By the way, guys, I want to thank you again for supporting HealthMasters.com. I want to thank you so much that you've allowed us to come into your lives. You've allowed us to be part of your lives, that you're part of our lives, that we're all a family, like I talked about earlier. Because by now, if you're still listening to my show, you know us. I mean, we don't put on any airs. We're just as real as we can be. And I really believe that if I met you, I really believe this with all my heart, in person, I really believe that we would have that frequency locked. And I'd say, wow, this person, this Bob or Mike or Joe or John or Betty or Mary or whoever you are, wow, we've got the same spirit. And I praise God for that. So I want to thank you guys, all of you, for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us, for supporting Health Masters, for allowing us to talk about the stuff we talk about and not trying to say, well, you shouldn't talk about this or you shouldn't talk about that, just allowing us to do what we do with the media and with the news, because, guys, we're here for you. We're here to help you because we want to be all part of the body of God through Christ Jesus and realize that all of us have to work together to make this a better place to live. So I want to thank you guys for that. I really appreciate it. At least when you get your multiple vitamins from us, it makes a huge difference at our end. And by the way, I have another article I'm going to cover on Monday, and this is going to blow your mind when I read this article. This is going to be an incredible article. It's going to be, do hidden opiates in our food explain food addictions? And I'm not going to do it today. I don't have time because I only got a few minutes left. But this article is going to blow your mind when I give you this article. Do hidden opiates in our food explain food addictions? And you guys are going to be shocked with this one. Austin, what's your next story?
Well, to add on that real quick, I want to say, everybody, the easiest way to start doing this is look at food as a tool. Look
That's
at
right.
it as nutrients your body needs to function properly to give it the right? Vitamins, minerals, carbohydrates, fats, proteins, to build muscle, to burn fat, whatever your goal is, but look at it as a tool. Too many people look at food as basically something to make them feel better, as comfort food. And there's really no, there's no healthy aspect of that, because usually it's not good food, usually it's not high nutrient dense food, and usually you eat too much of that food. So look at it as a tool. And also, too, as Dad was saying, use the HGH stimulate at night. That's incredible. And then the best thing that I've ever done, I've always done this back when I was competing, is first thing in the morning, take the HGH stimulate with about 1 to 2 scoops of our Muscle Blast formula, which is our branched chain amino acid,
right,
and drink it in about 15 to 20 ounces of water, a little more if you need more fluids, depending on your body weight, while you do about 15 to 20 minutes of low-intensity cardio, whether it's on the elliptical, whether it's on a Precor, whether it's on a bicycling machine, but something that's low-intensity, usually keeping your heart rate anywhere from around 100 to 120 beats per minute, depending on your age. You want to stay in a lower range, though. And the Muscle Blast really helps the body from going catabolic, so you don't start burning muscle tissue as fuel. So that's just a side note. And also, too, the Muscle Blast happens to be on sale as well this Friday. It'll be going on sale till the end of Tuesday, and that's 15% off. But that's a really, really good formula right there to do that at night and then in the morning. And if your diet's dialed in and you're running early morning cardio with the BCAAs and HGH stimulate on an empty stomach and eating clean throughout the day, I promise you, your body will have no issue burning fat whatsoever.
No, it will. It'll burn it so fast. Like I said, it's like putting butter in a microwave. You'll call me up at the office and you'll say, wow, you know, Ted, I'm down, you know, I'm losing 2 to 3 pounds a week every week. And I can't even believe it. I'm not even trying. I'm eating as much as I want. I'm never hungry, and I'm losing weight like crazy. See, that's the goal. The goal is not to be hungry, because if you allow yourself to get hungry, you're going to binge. You're going to eat too much, and you're basically going to allow too many calories to go into your system. But if you just keep that food going in like 6 small meals every single day, we've talked about it so many times, it makes such an easy way to lose weight. And by the way, guys, I'm going to go ahead and go with the Austin close. Love you guys. I appreciate you. And have a wonderful weekend. And we'll be back with you on Monday, and we'll talk about opiates and our food. You guys are going to love it. God bless you. I appreciate you again. And we'll talk to you Monday. It's all yours, Oz.
Yes, and also, too, when you're eating the vegetables and chicken, make sure you're adding some good healthy fats to it to balance the meal out. That'll also preserve the food, make it digest a little slower in your stomach, so it'll slow down the absorption. It'll last a little bit longer. Usually a teaspoon to a tablespoon of olive oil is what I prefer when I'm making chicken and vegetables or fish and vegetables or anything like that. But that'll really help kind of push it out a little bit further so you won't get so ravenously hungry. And as Dad said, though, when you're eating chicken and vegetables with olive oil on them, I think I have a big old plate of vegetables. I mean, we used to do that all the time. I've had buddies that do that. I've got them ready for shows. And you can't believe how much food you're actually eating, but the caloric intake is still so much lower than it normally is with a really unhealthy diet with, you know, milkshakes and cheeseburgers and stuff like that. So, guys, we appreciate everything. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. Check out the Muscle Blast on sale this weekend, and we'll be back on the show Monday as always. You guys have a safe, blessed, enjoyable weekend, as always.